Bandwidth for MacBreak Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Tech, Episode 2, an overview of old stuff. We now join a conversation already in progress.
I've been doing this installation in the remote part of the world. And the guy says, "Oh, hey, I'm happy to help you." So he starts unboxing disk drives. These are Apple II disk drives, 5 1/4 inch.
The old ones.
The old ones. And he plugs this thing in. And so I'm like, "Oh, so after you plug them in, I need you to turn the computer on to make sure that it tests, right?" So he goes and he puts his hand on computer over here and computer over here. And he turns them on and boom, there's smoke in stereo. It's like, what did you do? And it turns out that he got the disk drives off by one row, one pin.
No.
And so when that happened, he blew up the 74LS125, which is the op amp for the discrete head. And, of course...
He fried it.
And it was funny because that was a very common problem back in the day. And so because the kids did this, I always carried around those chips, the 74,
right.
The 3470, and the 125.
Have your little pin extractor,
the pin extractor, and it was always a good thing to do because you never knew that when that was going to need to be done. So
right.
Anyway, that's a really old stuff story. It's way, in fact, kind of beyond the grave.
You know.
I don't know if you could actually find the parts to fix an Apple II disk drive.
Oh, I'm sure you probably could, but it would cost you. It'd be a little hard. But
well, so the other thing that happened was I was asked the other day, "Hey, I have this old Mac. What can I do? What can I use it for?
Is it good for anything?
Is it good for anything? And yeah. I'm thinking, well, sure, it's good for lots of things. And they're like, "Well, like what? Because it doesn't run anything quickly. It doesn't, it's old. In fact, it makes a lot of noise, and it's got dust beyond. So, like, we want to just throw it away." I'm like, "Don't just throw it away."
Yeah.
First off, if you've got old computer stuff, just do a Google in your browser, whatever, and type
old
computer
Mac.
Recycle and the name of your city, and there's some place that'll take it.
Oh yeah, well, especially here in the Bay Area, there's great computer recycling places.
Right. So. You can always put stuff out on the street, and someone will take it as well.
But although technically, that is illegal.
It is now. Well, the fine for dumping lead, which is considered to be a toxic waste, is quite extraordinary. I think it's like $1,000.
Yeah, well, it's pretty toxic stuff.
It is toxic stuff. Well, if it gets in the water, if it gets in you, then...
Well, yeah, that's bad things.
It's bad things. So so don't just throw it away. So
I've laid balls, I don't know what I'm saying.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what happens. Right. Oh,
sorry.
Okay. All right, well... So what is that old Mac good for?
Oh, it's good for a good server.
It's always good for a server. Although, I will say this, FireWire is probably the way to go if you're going to make an old server out of it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Then you don't have to worry about the ATA problem.
Right. Well, I will say, I've got at my house, I'm maybe a little embarrassed to admit this, but I actually have, let's see, a Quadra still. I have
a 950?
I think so. I actually have to go back and look. I don't even remember.
Because if it's a 900, that's even cooler.
It is one of those series. I don't remember. I've got to dig it up. That one's actually not on right now, but it ran as little as 2 years ago. I've got Duos. I love the Duos. So I have a Duo 230. Mm-hmm. I have a Duo 250. I have a Duo 280. I've got the color one.
Wow.
I've got the docks for them. Those actually run.
Ethernet dock?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the mini docks. Yeah. I have like the Ethernet dock. I have the old SCSI dock, so you could hook a SCSI drive right in the back of it. Yeah, that was awesome.
Cool.
So
for me, well, the answer, I guess, there's a lot of answers, but, I made a short list, which is I can run my house.
Yeah.
Right? So you can run a version of Mr. House on it, or you can run the old
X8 stuff.
The X10.
Or X10.
Yeah,
that's right.
The X10 stuff.
Yeah.
There's another version of the X10 stuff that supposedly works a little bit better, but I don't, it's not as common to get, but there's a lot of X10 stuff. And so using Apple Script and, internet access. You could actually talk to your house from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, if you put the, not that you would do this, you could put the X10 component on the iron and then you could turn the iron
that might be a little bit dangerous there, John.
Right. Or you could just have the crock pot turn on at 5.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Music server is obvious. Yep. Obvious one. Although, again, there's probably better solutions than that. But, you know, if you've got the old Mac and you want to, you know, you want to do something with it.
If you're just going to do music, you really, any of the older systems are great for that.
Yeah. Terabyte server.
Hmm.
I really like the, you know, we'll talk a lot about this. This will be, we're going to dedicate an episode of this in the future.
Yeah.
Or a talk about this in the future. Definitely you can use it as a web server.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why that you couldn't run even the oldest of old as a web server. In fact, I used to have a Quadra 610
right.
that was running FTP'd prior to when it was, before it got renamed into something else. And that was an FTP server.
Okay.
Backup server.
Yep. That's always good.
It's always good to have
just
a backup server.
Just run your automated
server.
Backup
Just run your
process.
Automated app to the server, and then it's located on another thing. And I think that backup server is actually a very good thing, because what happens is that you get you don't have the local storage hooked up to your machine. And what I find is that local storage always gets filled up to 10%.
Yeah.
Just by default, because you're going, oh, I have all the storage, and you start making another project, and oh, this is here, and then you know, then you end up saying, oh, I need another drive, and you have to pull the drive. It's just a nightmare. But a backup server basically forces you to manage the thing that you're backing up, mm-hmm. so that you don't fill up drives. The other one that I found that saw this a bunch of years ago, and I played with this doing a review, but it was the Ovalab Flink.
Oh, right.
The phone link.
Yeah.
And so it basically makes a Mac into a phone interface.
It's actually very cool.
It is. And you can, you know, you can call up that your number, and you can hit a tone, and it goes, dude, and then you can give key commands over the phone, touch tone commands, and then you can have it do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could use that in combination of running your house.
Yep.
And then the other thing that I'm with my new studio, I'm going to dedicate an old computer for just recording.
Right.
So it's going to be over in the corner, stuck in the rack, ready to go, and I'm going to use VNC to go talk to it.
Hook into it and make it your remote record
system. Yeah, make it my sound devices. Oh. And then it's always set up. It's always ready to go. You cannot take it out. It cannot be reconfigured. And I'm thinking, okay, so I have this dual 500,
mm-hmm.
right, that's basically –
sitting.
You know, a server. It's idle. No right. one wants to use it anymore. It's too slow. But you know what? We recorded on that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll do multi-track, because, you know, FireWire multi-track isn't that big of a deal. So that's kind of a rundown of some of the stuff that old stuff can do.
Well, yeah. I mean, I personally use a G4, one of the first generation Tower G4 systems, is my server at my house. I mean, it runs my website
mm-hmm.
as bad as it does right now, but it does. But yeah, I mean, I run the macOS server on it,
mm-hmm.
Which is great, by the way. I mean, it works on older hardware if you have the old version of the server, and basically turn into this great, you know, server that, you know, lets you have full web capacity, email, FTP, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, and it doesn't take a horsepower machine to really do that, unless you're doing big apps.
Well, or if you've got some big PHP MySQL script that you're slogging through all the time. And then, you know, then there's other solutions. Like, for example, for not that much more money, you can get a Mac Mini.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect web server because, you know, it's a dual core Intel machine. I mean, that's more power in that itty bitty box than, you know, is really needed for doing that task.
But, well, and that does bring up an interesting point that, you know, even though I use a lot of my old hardware still for mm-hmm. certain things, at a certain point it becomes, you know, if I can go out and buy a Mac Mini for a couple $100, does it really behoove me to continue using this old equipment at a certain point instead of just going out and say, hey, you know, I'm just going to buy a Mac Mini, I'll have the latest version of the OS, and I'll hook it up. It's way faster.
Well, I think there's a point at which the old thing becomes more of a problem to deal with than mm-hmm. than it is just using something more modern.
Yeah.
And by more modern, I mean, you know, it can just be a couple of years old,
mm-hmm.
right? Not that I would dedicate a G5 because it's a real power-hungry thing,
still, yeah.
right? But definitely the end of the G4s where mm-hmm. the duals got good. even an old PowerBook, an old G4 PowerBook, which would use barely any power at all,
right,
could run a task like that all day long.
Yep. Yeah.
So let's go through some of the issues of old stuff to talk about this. And this is across the board. This goes across any of the Macs, really. So there's three categories that we're going to talk about in this discussion, and not necessarily in this in this session, but
later on.
Yeah. iMacs.
Yes.
Towers, which is G4 and G5. And then finally PowerBooks.
Yep.
And notice I said PowerBook and not MacBook.
Yeah.
MacBook is, you know, we don't have these anything that's within a two year old period of time or 18 months, these are not problems. This is not considered old. You can go to any of your retailers, you can go to any of your vendors and find the parts and the things that you need for upgrades. And it's not like, oh, is this gonna work?
Right.
And there's no thinking about it. But old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we'll take the G4 tower.
Right. Like what I'm running is my server.
Yeah. The dual 500. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we could even go with a single 350.
Yeah.
That's really slow.
It is.
It is. But it works. Okay. So here's the first issue. It's got 128 meg of RAM in it. Mm-hmm.
You can go higher than that.
Okay. But the thing that happens is it's PC 100 or PC 133.
It's old memory.
It's old memory. So let's see. It's 7 years old, that memory, when it was in spec. So chances of finding that?
Yeah, it's actually better than you think. Yeah. There's a couple places out there.
Uh-huh.
The first place I always go when I'm looking for memory is DealRAM.
Okay.
Which is, if you're not familiar with DealMac.
It's the same thing.
It's the same guys, but it's specifically dedicated to memory. Now, they don't always have a lot of the older stuff, so then I start looking around at some of the other places, like 1-800-MEMORY, I think it is.
I've bought a lot of stuff from them.
Shoot, what's the other company? There's one other company that has a lot of the old RAM that I found, and they keep this weird backstock of it. Uh-huh. So, or they've bought enough old machines that they just have a ton of the old memory.
The other one that a lot of people will recommend is to go to Crucial.
And the
thing with that is that, okay, so they'll probably have the RAM, but
they'll charge you for it.
And so you'll be paying a premium for this old RAM.
Up till recently, when I wanted good RAM, I went to Crucial to buy my RAM. I mean, they were the ones who I dealt with most of the time if I wanted to make sure my memory was going to be bulletproof and that I was going to get good quality memory. That's where I went.
Mm-hmm.
So now that changed with the new Mac Pro series where they had some problems.
Well, then Samsung became the component supplier for the new Mac RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's kind of – if you just buy the same spec RAM that's stamped Samsung, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
So RAM is often hard to find.
Yeah.
I know that from experience of this is that sometimes the old RAM, if someone goes, oh, I have RAM for that, and they give it to you, the RAM will be damaged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it wasn't stored correctly, or it was flaky to begin with, or whatever. So
Be cautious. I mean, in my opinion, that is one of the things with older systems when you're trying to upgrade them, is make sure you can put as much memory in as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure your memory is in good shape.
Right. Well, and the thing with Macs is that a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I have PC 100 RAM, and you'll put it in, and it won't be to spec because of the timing. And the timing will be 3-2-2 or 2-2-2 or 2.
And Macs are finicky about that.
Yeah, and they are finicky. And there used to be a RAM flasher that would let you reflash the
clock.
The timing of them. Oh,
right.
And it sort of works, but then the guy stopped developing it because he was letting on that the RAM guys were just reflashing their RAM to get the different specs.
Yeah, not really.
all right, hard drives.
Hard drives. Well, that's in my opinion, that's actually the harder one now.
Right.
Is hard drives, because especially on some of the older systems, if you want a SCSI drive, which a lot of the old systems were still SCSI, at ATA at a certain point.
The G3s. The beige G3s.
Yep, which I have two.
used ATA hard drives.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was really the departure of the...
From SCSI.
From SCSI. And the machine prior to that, which was not a G3, which was the 604, those machines were all SCSI.
SCSI based, right.
And so then we had to, you know, if you wanted to run SCSI, which was, you know, a good thing when you're doing video stuff, you had to put in a SCSI card, an Adaptec SCSI card or an S2 SCSI card to make it work.
Which most high-end users did. I mean, if you're a higher-end user, then you probably have a SCSI card in your system.
Right. And it was really cool back in the day to get 25 megabytes a second out of the drive. You're like, wow, this is really fast.
Mm-hmm. It was at the time.
It was at the time. And now that's pretty much what the drives go anyway. Right. So the issue with hard drives is that there's different – so we're just going to talk about ATA drives for this discussion, mm-hmm. or IDE drives, as they're also known as. And the issue is that most of the Mac towers up until – and I'm going to say the very last of the G4s were stuck using ATA 66 or ATA 100.
You could use 100.
But they had an ATA 100 bus.
Right.
But that didn't let you make that's the issue, is that it's stuck at 137 gig for the max size of your drive.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, cool. I'm going to take my G4 cube and I'm going to make it a cool music server.
Right.
I'm going to put the 500 gig hard drive in it and you format it up and it only is 137 gig.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, grr.
Now, there are ways around that. You can, if you go in and you can flash the RAM, the param on it, on some of them, and actually get that to go to a higher drive size.
How does that work? Because I thought the controller was the limiting factor.
On some of them, I don't think it is. In fact, a place we haven't mentioned yet, which is probably the best place to go for a lot of this information, is Accelerate Your Mac.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, exactly. And maybe we can get the Accelerate Your Mac guys in on this discussion at some point.
Yeah.
If we ever get a phone patch.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's going to be the big thing. And so always check either Accelerate Your Mac or Low End Mac for the spec of the drive, and don't be surprised when you do get that big drive in there that it doesn't format up. Now there's a piece of software that I've found, but I've never actually tested that supposedly does the rebinding of the interface to let you go to as high as possible.
And I've done it.
And it works?
Yeah, it worked, but it was a pain to do it.
Really?
Yeah. It was, well, and it could have been the way I was doing it.
Okay.
But I actually took one of my old, we're talking very old systems here, and basically tried to make it into a full Mac OS X server.
That's their problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was trying. I knew I could do it at a certain point, and I was able to do it, but it took lots of heartache to get it to
So that's an interesting point because, you know, I'm a busy person, and you're a busy person. Yep. And at some point, you know, what is our time worth, right?
Exactly.
Where do we have to just pull the plug on these projects of trying to do something better, cheaper?
Well, and I probably should have on that one. I probably should have just bit the bullet and, you know, bought a new server.
Uh-huh.
But I was so far into it already. I was so determined I'm going to make this work. And I did, but it was probably way more time than I should have spent.
Time is money. Yeah, you know, like, you know, at some point you go, I could have bought two Mac Minis for this. Been done with it. All right. So OS 9 versus OS X.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I still have one of my machines that I run as a secondary server that's OS 9 still. And it works great. It just still runs and it does what it needs to do.
OS 9 is, for what it is, was a especially in the end when 9.2 got done.
Right, 9.22 was it?
9.22 was the very last version of Mac OS 9, and that was a really good OS. Mm-hmm. I mean, that by the time they got to there, they were doing some really cool stuff. They got the foundations of memory protection in.
Right.
They've got the crashing was almost nil because they were only working on 040 machines or better.
Yeah.
Or actually, no. Was it? What did they kill? They killed it was only PowerPCs.
Oh, sorry. It was only PowerPCs.
It was only PowerPCs. Right. And so once they got rid of the 68K stuff,
right,
stuff really started to run a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right. It was only PowerPCs for that version.
So the issue with OS 9 is that there's really zero support for it anymore. You're really on your own if you go down that path. It can be kind of fun to play with.
Oh, I still love my OS 9 machine in some ways.
Right. Well, I have a couple of games that only play on OS 9. Yep. They're never going to be ported, especially now that the Intel Mac doesn't play.
They've dropped the support for the backwards.
Yeah, there's no emulation anymore. No emulation. So it's done. So I'm never going to – and even some of the old stuff that I did for my portfolio will only run on an OS 9 machine.
Right.
Because there's no – the tools don't exist anymore. So I kind of have to keep an old –
OS 9 machine.
I have a 540C.
Ah, right.
Just for the sole purpose of running old stuff.
Well, and see, that's actually why I keep my Duo running.
Right.
Actually, it was my Duo. I love those systems. I keep my old one running mainly because I run my OS 9 stuff with it.
So the easiest thing I think to replace on an old computer, especially on the G4 towers, is the CD DVD.
Right. That's very easy to swap out.
It's, you know, and it looks like, you know, you're like, well, it's not going to work. It's got to be a Mac specific drive. It's none of that is true. You can go down to your local computer store, and I was going to name some, but I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sure, you know, go to the Silicon Valley Hardware Lending Library, which is pretty much any place that has a very liberal return policy. And plug it in. Take very good care when you're plugging it in so you don't scratch or damage the drive in any way. And if it doesn't burn, if it doesn't work, then just take it out and get a different one.
Yeah.
The ones that we know that works are the Lite-Ons, the Sonys, the Not some of the HPs don't work, but
some of them, most of them did.
Most
though.
Of them did, but some of them didn't.
Yeah, there are a couple that don't.
What was the other one? Yeah, that's pretty.
Some of the Pioneers.
All the Pioneers do, right?
I think there's a couple exceptions to that, but in general, yeah.
Just in general, I mean, pretty much anything you're going to buy at retail today, especially if you're going to use it with OS 10, won't have a problem. If you're trying to make it work with OS 9, it's a crapshoot. It's like if you're going to get a Pioneer, then you got to get an AO3 or 4, and an AO9 is too new.
Yep.
Right. Probably won't work.
Well, and realistically, if you're going OS 9, if you're trying to do some OS 9 thing, then you're going to have to find some of the old software that had universal driver capability. You do actually have to worry about the drivers.
It also means that you're going back to SCSI land.
Yes, for the most part.
For the most part. Yeah. Good luck. Well, or you can say, look, I'm going to use a blue and white G3, right? And so that's a perfectly good machine for running OS 9. And it's modern, has all the ports on it. It doesn't have ADB, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's a...
you can get the converters.
You can get a converter if you still have an ADB thing that you need to run. Like, for example, my QuickTake 100.
Oh, you have a QuickTake 100.
I have a real-life QuickTake
100.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. We'll bring it on. We'll talk about it.
We'll photo of that up.
Yeah, we'll put something
for
like that.
For those that don't know about the QuickTake 100.
It was... In its day, it was pretty cool.
It was awesome.
It ate batteries like nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But now that there's modern batteries, I think it's, you know, that problem solved.
But its resolution is so low.
Yeah, but, you know, modern batteries are really cool.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you know, there was, we were so close.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was just pushing the envelope of this. You know, now that they have nickel metal hydrides that are rechargeable, there is no reason to buy a battery that's a throwaway battery anymore.
Except for certain cases. I've hit where, you know, certain recording equipment, when you use the nickel metal hydrides,
they'll get to a point and they'll drop out, right? Because that's the power profile of that. You know, there is no gracefully dying on that. But in the case of running an MP3 player or a camera, that's fine.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, you're like, okay, well, this thing costs $5 and I can use it a zillion times. Mm-hmm. Don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Gigabit Ethernet, I think, is probably the most important part of using old stuff, especially in if you have a modern internet or modern network in your home.
Right, trying to put gigabit Ethernet into the system.
Well,
or
start with a machine that at least has gigabit Ethernet,
and
that kind of excludes the blue and white G3s.
It excludes most of the
machines. Most of them, but it starts with the G4s, right? So you get gigabit with all the G4s, and I think that's...
Was it all of them?
Yeah, we're gonna have to look it up. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the gigabit. I'm pretty sure the gigabit starts with the G4.
It did, but I don't know if all of them had it. I thought the first generation.
Okay,
did.
So it's specifically the 350 does not, because it used a weird motherboard.
Right.
It used the Yikes motherboard.
Yep. Okay. Yes, the Yikes motherboard.
Well, the Yikes motherboard was aptly named because it was a scary thing, yes. And it was really to push it out quickly.
Uh-huh.
And it was a stopgap, and it was never supposed to be on the market for very long. And in fact, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But there's that first generation G4, yep. The Yikes, mm-hmm. was let's get this to the market as quickly as possible and and see what happens. And, you know, we all bought into it. We bought into that thing, and we're like, okay, this is going to be really fast. And it turned out it wasn't fast for 6 months. It took everybody that long to get the Altavic.
Right, get all the software recompiled, make sure that worked with it. Yeah.
Well, the Adobe guys did their part. They released the Photoshop plugin for
very early.
Altavic, and it was done like in days. And Photoshop was...
Oh, I remember it was like this massive jump forward in speed.
It was like, oh my gosh, I have never seen something so fast.
Yeah. Well, I remember even Apple, I think, was touting at the time, fastest version of Photoshop anywhere, blah, 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 you know.
All right, gigabit Ethernet. All right, so here's what's the most common problem of an old Mac?
The most common problem. I don't know, John. What is the most common problem?
Pram battery is dead.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, so that's that purple battery on the inside.
Green in some cases.
Or in some cases. But fortunately, Apple has done us a very huge favor. For whatever reason, and I don't... You know, maybe somebody was the battery guy back in the day, and he said, you will use this type of battery for the life of the Mac line.
Yes.
As long as there are Macs, this you is the battery, this battery to you. And so he came up with that battery spec, and you can buy that battery at Radio Shack. And it does on the battery. It says Macintosh parameter battery on the packaging, on the blister pack. I think it's like $12.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I think
and the coolest thing is they are available everywhere.
Yeah.
I was down in, of all places, Yuma, Arizona, and I had to fix a battery or a Mac, and it wasn't starting up. I'm like, oh, this is a parameter RAM battery. Went down to Radio Shack. They had one. Yep. The person's like, we never sell these. I'm like, yeah, well, it's got a shelf life of a zillion
10 years.
It's that lithium ion battery. I mean, it's, you know, you could power a small spacecraft with that. Yeah,
they probably do.
Send it out to Pluto, and by the time it got there, it'd power on and go, oh, I'm alive.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I do agree. It's one of those common problems. Even on some newer systems, I've found, for some strange reason, people have systems that the batteries died prematurely.
Right.
So they get these weird crashes or like, why can't I get my wireless to work? Why can't I get my network to work? Or things like that. And it's because the parameter RAM battery is dead.
RAM battery is dead. Yeah. And so this is a common problem. The battery life, we talked about failures on the last show. That battery is good for between 3 and 5 years.
Yeah.
Roughly.
That's about right.
And the battery is really simple to replace. So if you're... And this is not, oh man, I'm so not going to say this.
What?
Well, because this is like that mythology stuff, you know, where, and we'll you know, the rubber chicken thing that we'll end up talking about at some point. But if you're just experiencing, well, okay, so here's the giveaway. The clock is always set to 1904 or 1947.
If you reset the clock and then you leave your computer off for too long and come back and turn it on and the clock resets.
Right.
That's
the parameter.
Sign.
That's the telltale sign that you have a bad parameter RAM battery. So then it's time to replace it. But this is not the, oh, my Mac is behaving weird. Oh, I'm just going to go replace this battery.
Right.
That's not the problem.
Right. Well, although it can be. I mean, I have a friend that's exactly what the problem was.
It can be, but it could also be weird RAM. It could be.
There's all kinds.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. Troubleshooting wise. But from a point of view of somebody goes, well, it used to work and now it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Here, you can have it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing to check.
Yeah. Yep. The battery is
bad. Go down to the store and get one. Next thing is, what's the next most common problem?
Next most common problem. Good question. I mean, there's so many things that
hard drive is done.
Well, that's all hard drive. Yeah.
The hard drive just is
toasted.
It's just, you know, it's going.
Yeah. Now, I will say that if it's an internal one, you're pretty much toast. But if it's an external hard drive and you're hearing that problem, it could be that the FireWire controller has gone out, and all you have to do is pop the case open, get a generic FireWire USB case,
$40.
And swap the drive out. I've saved so many people's hard drives by just swapping it to a new
case. And so there's three things that can cause, or that causes that. One is that the voltage regulator on the FireWire board is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that the main, so there's only like two components on this, that the component itself, when it's trying to get the reset signal from the drive, you know, the ready state, it's not getting that state and it's kaput.
Yep.
Or it's just been zapped, right? So the whole thing has just been staticked and that's that.
Right. You plugged it in hot one too many times.
Well, there's nothing wrong with plugging it hot.
Yeah,
you can do that. I mean, it's part of the design spec.
Oh, it was designed to do that.
Yeah.
But eventually, especially Maxter is the most notorious for that. I don't know how many Maxter drives back when they were cheap in their FireWire cases, and the drives just died at a certain point. And it was just replacing the case. That's all it was.
That's that whole Oxford 9/11 chipset. Yeah,
they didn't use the Oxford chip, and everyone else did.
Yeah, the Oxford chip, for whatever reason, became the standard for that. And there's a lot of different versions of it right now. There's way more, but if you're looking at the drive spec and you see that, that's probably the case to get. If you have a choice,
you want an Oxford chip.
You want the Oxford chip because that's the things that we know about, and it continues to spec out quick.
Yeah, it's an ever changing industry.
Yep. So. Old optical hard drives will likely not work, especially if it's been sitting in the garage for a while because it'll get dust on it. I don't know how dust gets in and around and, you know, an enclosed system, but
it does.
It does. In fact, did you know that none of those drives back there will write a DVD?
Oh, yeah. No. All of our machines here are total because they've been moved too many times. There's too much dust in them and they haven't been cleaned. The heads get out of alignment and that's it. Once they're out of alignment, you're done with it.
Broken sound ports.
Yeah, that's common.
That one's the one because people, you know, over the 6 years, you've got the headphones and somebody goes and they pull the headphone jack out. And that's a tough component to replace.
ADB's the same way, though.
Right. Broken sound ports, broken USB ports, broken lots of things. On the G4s, it's really easy to you can just plug in another USB card practically from any manufacturer.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Matter. The cheapest part you can find, plug it in, OS X will see it, and then you have four new USB ports.
As long as you're running OS X.
As long as you're running OS X. Maybe true for OS 9, but the part's going to vary.
Yeah.
YMMV there. Fixing a sound port's easy. You buy a Griffin iMic, $40.
Yep.
You actually get a better
quality.
You get a better quality audio because of it.
And you don't have to have the funky microphone cable connector extra long that
That's
Apple
true.
Used to have. So.
That's true. Dust. What do we know about dust?
Dust kills.
Dust can kill. Now, I do know two things about dust. Don't disturb the dust.
Unless your machine's not working.
Unless your machine's not working, then disturb the dust. But there's this thing, and I've seen this happen more often than not. Somebody gets a can of dust off, and they're squirting that stuff in there, and they try to turn their machine on, and it doesn't work anymore.
Because they move the magical dust.
They move the magical dust, which let loose the static.
Yes.
And so static, I mean, really what you should do is you really should make sure that that machine is grounded correctly. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're grounded correctly so that when you're holding that can of dust, because what's happening is it's coming out of there, it's causing, there's friction that's happening. You've got all kinds of
charge base.
Static charge base.
Yeah.
You know, it's the differential between you and the can and the air and the computer.
Well, the other one that I've seen people do, and this is a common one, is they've actually had a machine that has been running. They will turn it off. They'll use the dust off before it's cooled, and they'll actually hurt the board. They'll actually crack it.
Well, that's because the propellant in the dust off, guess what?
Super cool.
Super cool. Well, and anything – so it's not just that. It's anything that's – when it's coming out of a compressed space and coming – you know, being squirted out
–
as it expands, it will cool.
Exactly.
So you've got cool air going on to, or in this case, cool CO2 going on to
a hot board.
And that can do all kinds of things to the circuit board, the chip, the connection, the solder joint, all of those things.
Yeah, if it's been on, let it cool first.
Yep. Power supply.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Age old thing. So when we're troubleshooting stuff, very first thing we always checked was, is there 5 volts? Is there 12 volts?
Right.
You know, make sure that there's there's power. Is the fan spinning?
Yeah.
Fan spinning, fan not spinning, telltale sign your power supply is dead.
Yes.
Thing with the old Macs is that because it's a Mac, they use funky power supplies.
Yep.
So it's not like going down to
your local hardware,
the computer hut
store. Yeah.
The Silicon Valley Hardware Lending Library and buying a $29 power supply.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't work that way.
So sad.
So problem is with the power supply, you can go on eBay, search for a power supply, mm-hmm. and you'll be shocked at how much an old power supply costs.
They're expensive.
They are. I'm in awe of how much a power supply. In fact, you could buy a whole computer cheaper
for some cases,
cheaper than a power supply.
Yep.
And that at that point, it's toast.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's computer.
Your machine is dead. Give it up.
You know, after you look at that and go, wow, $100 for an old power supply.
Yeah.
That's crossing the line.
There's a quarter of the cost of a Mac Mini, right?
Yeah. Well, unless I'm going to give the caveat of this or the unless is that if it's something that is vintage and worth saving,
right?
Then, you know, make the effort to do that. And I would say, Mac Cube. Is like that.
I have a friend who runs his home automation system with a Mac Cube.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Flower Power iMac.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Dalmatian iMac. I think those two examples are.
Those are classics. Yeah. Okay.
You know, and everybody gave Apple all kinds of hell for making those, but you know, I think those will be the collector things. All right. As always, the easiest thing to upgrade on an old computer. Makes it feel like new again.
The monitor.
That's the second thing.
Oh.
Mouse and keyboard.
I was going to say, if it wasn't that monitor, it's got to be mouse and keyboard.
It's got to be mouse and keyboard. It's like getting a brand new computer.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and especially if you're pining for a new Octo.
Right.
You know, and you want to get a little bit more mileage out of your G5 dual.
Make it feel like you've got a new machine.
go down to the Silicon Valley Hardware Lending Library and test out some new keyboards and mouse.
Get a nice new monitor, like one of those. Do you see the price on the Dells? The 24-inch ones was like drop below $600.
That's totally worth it. So, you know, 24-inch monitor, 1920 by 1200.
Yeah.
That is the most, if there is a single most productive piece of gear you can get, display.
Good monitor.
Either the Apple 23 or the Dell 24.
Yeah.
And I actually reviewed the Dell 24 and the Dell 20. Back when I was writing for Mac Home,
mm-hmm.
and that monitor is really, really good, especially the new version, the 2407.
Mm-hmm.
They redid a couple of things in there to make it more Mac friendly.
Yep.
They added the color profile into the monitor spec so that it actually the gamma and the settings are for a Mac.
Right, plays nicely.
Plays nicely with a Mac. The stand goes up and down,
mm-hmm.
and it actually does pivots. So if you're running music software like Reason,
mm-hmm.
which is very vertical oriented,
right?
Then that's the way to go. Or if you're doing page layout, mm-hmm. Or photography, I think that's another good way to.
Other thing I like about those monitors is they have true like component video in. They've got multiple video inputs. You can switch between them on the fly. Unlike the Apple, that's my biggest gripe mm-hmm. with Apple monitors. I can't hook a standard video source in.
Right.
With the Dell, I can.
Well, if nothing else, you can plug another computer into it.
Yep.
So you can have two monitors, two things mm-hmm. going. All right. After that, CDR, hard drive, RAM, video card. Although the video card is the last on the list,
mm-hmm.
here's the caveat with that.
It's much harder to find.
Oh, my.
It's the most hard to find, I would say.
It's the most hard thing to find. Basically, you're stuck with the video card that's in that machine unless you are really clever about making the video card modern.
Yeah. Unless you can find someone who's got one of the old ones that works with your machine, actually. There's a few machines where you could upgrade the video card. I mean, there aren't many of them out there, but there are a couple.
There's issues with the different machines with the digital audio and the Sawtooth. They actually had powered AGP so that they could have a more watt-unfriendly video card in there.
Yeah.
And so if you buy a video card that doesn't have that connector,
mm-hmm.
you may find that you have to weird wire power to it.
Right.
Using a hard drive connector to make it work.
Well, and I will say, even on modern machines, other than buying it directly from Apple, it's actually kind of hard to find a third-party video card for Macs.
You know, it's just the nature of it. I mean, the video card, I spent a long time talking with ATI marketing. I know. The long time talking with ATI marketing about this very thing. And, you know, the problem was is that the Mac buyer bought a Mac, they used it to the end, and they never upgraded it.
Right.
You know, it's not like it's a gaming machine like on other platforms. Yeah. It's not like it needed to be upgraded because the graphic artist doesn't need that power.
Well, most graphic artists don't. But
The Photoshop driver doesn't need the power of the video card.
But if you're doing motion, you're doing high-end 3D stuff.
Yeah, but then you're going to have the G5 dongle to go with motion.
Well, this is true. Okay. Or the Mac Pro now, so.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Mac Break Tech. I'm John Foster.
I'm Ken Giacotto.
And we'll catch you on the other side.
Ben this week.
Well, Ben's coming back next week.
Okay.
Right on.